in the last 3 years, we've had a net outflow of 1 million people. People often talk about how people from California come here and they bring their politics with them. So you've left because you can't buy a house, but you don't even connect the dots as to why you left. So you vote the same way when you go to Colorado or Florida or Texas. And so that's what my book is all about, As Goes California. So at the very least, when you leave California, please understand why you left so that you don't go somewhere else and vote the same way.
My guest today is Larry Elder, conservative talk radio host, TV host, former gubernatorial candidate in California, former presidential candidate, and best-selling author. Today, he'll share with us his perspective on major problems facing California, like high taxes, budget deficits, low-performing public schools, rising crime, homelessness, and the high cost of living. He also shared with us stories from his book and his experiences about the cultural changes in California politics.
I don't want to leave. I want to help to turn this state around because I think sooner or later the voters are going to have to wake up, and I want to be here when that happens.
And is there a way to turn this around, and what does it take?
Someone asked me, if you were advising Gavin Newsom, what would you say? I said,
I'm Siamak Korami. Welcome to California Insider. We have a very important update for you from the team of California Insider. We are starting a new YouTube channel where we're going to have the best parts of some of our episodes in a shorter format. We will also have our full episodes there going forward. Click on the link below and make sure you sign up to this channel because we're going to have a lot of new content there. Larry, it's great to have you on. Welcome. Welcome back.
See you, Mac. It is a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
And we're excited to talk to you about your book, As Goes California. And you just released your book, and we want to hear more about it. We've been covering California right. and all the problems the state is facing. And believe it or not, we love the state. We want to make sure it does well.
We do love the state, which is why I have not left. I was born and raised here. A lot of my friends have left, gone to places like Texas and Arizona and Florida. Ben Shapiro, I've known him ever since he was a student at UCLA. He's now moved to Florida. Dave Rubin, I met him a few years ago when he interviewed me. He's now moved to Florida. A lot of people have left, but I don't want to leave. I want to help to turn this state around because I think sooner or later, the voters are going to have to wake up and recognize you can't keep pulling the lever for these Democrats decade after decade after decade while people leave the state, while crime goes up, while homelessness goes up, while our schools deteriorate. Sooner or later, people are going to wake up, and I want to be here when that happens.
And what are your thoughts? Like when you were actually trying to become the governor, you were campaigning, there was a recall, and you were talking about a lot of the issues the state is facing.
Well, that's right. I ran in the recall election in 2021, and CMEC, I'd never run for anything before other than third grade class president. And before you ask, yes, I won that race, so I'm betting 500. And I never thought I'd run for anything. I'm a radio talk show host, TV talk show host, writer. And of course, I've been criticizing politicians ever since I can remember. And I always thought of politics as kind of a spectator sport. I never thought I'd be a participant. But so many people I respect, like Dennis Prager, without whom I would not have had my radio career, wanted me to run. My pastor, Jack Hibbs, wanted me to run. A good friend of mine who's a conservative filmmaker named Lionel Chetwin wanted me to run. And some activist who I never heard of until she contacted me, named Jenny Sand, wanted me to run. And then I began asking just friends of mine. And I was taken aback. I thought people were going to say, are you nuts? You want to leave your radio show or your TV show and do this? But they were very encouraging. And the more I thought about it, the more I said to myself, this is a long shot. It was a recall election. And California is outnumbered registered Republicans versus non-registered Republicans 3-1. A Republican has not won statewide in California in almost 20 years. And I really felt, CMAC, that the reason for the recall, the reason so many people signed the petition, is that they were angry. They were angry at Gavin Newsom because he shut down the state in a more severe way than anybody else did because of COVID. Yet he was at that French Laundry restaurant incurring a $12,000 wine tab with the very same people that drafted the mandates that he was not abiding by. He was not wearing a mask. He was not socially engaging in social distancing, yet telling everybody else to do that. So people were angry. And I thought, CMAC, that the anger would go away. At some point, he would apologize and say, I've learned my lesson, which of course he did. And in my opinion, eventually that anger began to wane. And so over time, I think that this thing that motivated people to recall him faded. It wasn't, people weren't not angry at crime, although many of us are. It wasn't the homeless problem, although many people are angry about that. It was this arrogance. And once he apologized for that, I kind of figured that much of that would go away, which is why even though people approached me during the recall, I still said, I'm not sure I want to do it, because I just thought that the anger was going to be temporary. And looking back at it, I think a lot of it was temporary. However, I got outspent probably close to 7-1 or 10-1, depending upon how you add up the money. The LA Times called me the black face of white supremacy. The LA Times opposed the recall, said it was undemocratic. The Sacramento Bee, arguably the second most influential newspaper in California, opposed the recall, thought it was undemocratic. So I had a hostile media, again, outnumbered 3-1, and there hasn't been a Republican, as I mentioned, elected statewide in California in almost 20 years. Those were the odds I was up against. We did recall a governor in 2003, but between 2003 and now, there are now 5% more registered Democrats. There are about 30% more registered independents. And independents in California vote Democrat. And there's almost 50% fewer registered Republicans. So the battlefield is very different than it was when Arnold Schwarzenegger was able to recall a governor. So I knew all of that when I went in, but I figured that maybe, just maybe, this might be the time when, if somebody came out who was likable, I hope people perceive me that way, knowledgeable, been talking about the issues for all these years. I have a syndicated column that I've been writing since April of 1998 where I've been talking about all these issues. So somebody who would be born here, from here, personable, knowledgeable, likable, maybe, just maybe, I can make some difference. That's why I decided to do it.
From your perspective, what problems is California facing? What is going on? Why do we have the problems?
Where do you want to start? Let's start with the taxes. We have the highest state income tax in the nation, 13.3%. Our budget is a mess. We now have a $68 billion budget deficit. And we have an unfunded pension liability. This is the money that we owe government workers when they retire, of $1.5 trillion. And the only way to pay that off is to get a higher rate of return for the money that the pension fund is managing. And then when you try and get a much higher rate of return, you increase the risk. You can raise taxes. Taxes are already too high, which means you're going to make even more people leave California because it jacks up the cost of living. Or you can try to get workers to take less money. Good luck with that. So we're in kind of a death spiral in terms of the budget. That's just the budget. And then you've got the horrible, horrible schools. We're near the bottom of all 50 states in terms of reading and writing. 75% of black third graders can neither read nor do math at grade level. It's similar numbers like that for Hispanic students. Then you've got crime. Compared to 2019, crime is up in most categories. Homelessness. California is probably 13% of the nation's population. We have anywhere from a third to 50% of the nation's homeless, depending upon what study you read. Cost of living. The average price of a home in California is twice the national average. So young people cannot get a home in California. And then people are leaving. For the first time in 170 years, people are leaving California. In the last 3 years, we've had a net outflow of 1 million people. And they're taking their tax dollars with them. When people like Elon Musk, who used to live in California, leave, you're talking about billions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars in tax revenue that would otherwise have been here that's now gone. 1% of all the tax filers in California, CMAC, account for 50% of the tax revenue. And the income tax is the biggest source of revenue for California. But 1% account for half of that. So when a high-end person like an Elon Musk or like a Ben Shapiro or like a Dave Rubin leave California, they're taking their tax dollars with them and making the budgetary problem even worse. I don't know how you get out of that.
Now, from your perspective, when you were growing up in California, you grew up in LA, right?
Right. Born and raised.
Did you think this will happen to California? Did you think?
No, I didn't. I really didn't. And Ronald Reagan was governor, two-term governor of California. Richard Nixon came from California. Orange County used to be the most reliable conservative county in the country. So the state has changed dramatically in terms of the registration and the number of Republicans versus Democrats. And this tax, spend, regulate attitude, I did not think the state would evolve that way. But that's where we are right now. Just in April of this year, the minimum wage for fast food workers and for healthcare workers is going to go to $20 an hour. And as soon as that was announced, I think it was a Pizza Hut.
It was Pizza Hut.
Yeah, they laid off 1,200 drivers. 1,200. Gone. And they're going to use independent drivers now to deliver stuff. A lot of the fast food companies are now rushing to automate. They're going to hire fewer people. The very people that people like Gavin Newsom think they're going to help by forcing higher costs on people, and the price of labor is usually your biggest cost item running any kind of business, you think you can just wave a wand, jack up the price of labor, and there's not going to be any real consequences. You're going to cause the price of a hamburger to go up, and you're going to cause a loss of jobs. And that's exactly what's going to happen. And this happens over and over and over again here in California. Laws like AB 5, which made a whole bunch of independent contractors now become full-time workers, meaning they get all sorts of health care benefits that full-time workers get here in California. It was so bad that they began to exempt business after business after business. Now I think about 100 businesses have been exempted from AB 5 because it is that bad. However, they've not learned their lesson. They still keep putting on more regulations, raising taxes. We just now passed signed a bill to provide health care for illegal aliens at taxpayers' expense. Just one brain-dead thing after another is going on here in the state of California.
And from your perspective, mm-hmm. why do you think the politicians are doing this?
I think some of them are just, pardon the expression, stupid. I think some of them just don't realize the damage that's been done. I'll give you an example. In 1972, the Democratic nominee for president was a guy named George McGovern. He was a liberal from South Dakota, was in Congress for a number of years, and he lost, went back to Congress. And then when he decided to no longer run for office, he opened up a bed and breakfast in New England. He always wanted to open up a bed and breakfast. Hired the best people to design it, to refurbish it, and it went bust. And he wrote a piece in the Wall Street Journal. And he said, I only wish I had known how much more difficult it is to make a profit because of all the rules and regulations that people in Congress pass. Had I known this, I would have been far more sensitive to the needs of business owners. Hello, about time. Most of these people have never run a hot dog stand, CMAC, and they have no idea you cannot pick up a wand and wave it and then tell somebody you're going to suddenly start paying somebody 50% more than you paid them last year, which is what these guys do over and over and over again. Some of it is just complete and total stupidity. Another example. I'm running for governor. I put this in my book. And I'm being interviewed by a local ABC reporter in San Francisco. And what they did, CMAC, is I've written 1,200 articles over my career as a syndicated column. I began writing since April of 1998, one a week. And do the math, it's about 1,200 columns. Somebody read every single one of them to try and find something that I said that I can be attacked for. And I wrote a column attacking the minimum wage. And I said the ideal minimum wage should be zero. In other words, nobody should be telling somebody else who's a willing seller of labor and a willing buyer of labor what that number ought to be. The two of them should negotiate that. So I'm being interviewed by this woman, and she said, I read your article. So you're saying people should work for free? I said, would you work for free? She said, no. I said, neither would I. I said, saying that shouldn't be a minimum wage is not saying people should work for free. Slavery has been outlawed. And she said, well, what you're saying is that that the minimum wage is a bad idea. I said, I am. I said, who's your favorite economist? And she gave me a blank stare. I said, you can't think of one? She writes about business, by the way. She couldn't think of one. Wow. I said, do you know who Adam Smith is? She said, no. Wow. I said, Adam Smith is a father of modern economics. Wrote a book in 1776 called Wealth of Nations. You never heard of him? She said, no. I said, you know who Milton Friedman is? She said, no. Nobel laureate. I wrote a book called Free to Choose, which is a Bible for a lot of people who care about economics. I said, you must know who Paul Krugman is, K-R-U-G-M-A-N. He's a columnist with the New York Times, an economist, probably the most well-known economist in the country because he writes for the New York Times. Been having a column there for decades. And even he wrote negatively about the minimum wage. So, before he did a 180. And the reason I asked the question was not to play got you, because any economist that she could think of has written negatively about the minimum wage. Milton Friedman said the minimum wage was probably the most anti-Negro, shows you how long ago he said this, anti-Negro law on the statute books, because what it does, it discriminates against people with low skills. Because if you have low skills and you're willing to work down here, the government says, I'm sorry, he must pay you here. You're not worth it, so he's not going to hire you. And so I kept waiting for her to give me the name of an economist, because I know all the major ones, and I would have said, well, he wrote negatively about the minimum wage. She couldn't think of a single one. And they're so lazy. The whole article, whole interview is on YouTube. You can look at it yourself. And it says, Larry Elder talks about this, 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 and the minimum wage. They removed that segment from the interview because she looked so foolish, but they were too lazy to take it out of the title. So if you're looking at that interview, you're looking for the part where they talk about the minimum wage, because it says that in the title. It's gone. They took it out. Which is why, by the way, I rarely like to do interviews that are not live. Because if I interview a left-wing person and it's not a live interview, and I say something, ask something that makes them look foolish, they will take it out. And it's happened many times.
Folks, you've probably been hearing me talk about VyRefi for a while now. VyRefi has been getting a ton of phone calls from you, and I thank you for supporting an investment that actually helps people. A lot of people are talking about this investment, and I'd like to review the basics with you. First off, yes, it's true. You can earn up to 10.25% fixed rate of return that's not correlated to the stock market or to the Fed. You can turn your income on or off, compounded, whatever you choose, and there are absolutely no fees. There are no restrictions on your principal if you ever need your money back, and you'll get your monthly statement with no surprises. If you are not sure if you can trust this economy, this secure collateralized portfolio may be a very good option for you. Just go to investyrefi.com. That's invest, the letter Y, then refi.com. Folks, I take my endorsements very seriously. If you're looking for a solid investment that helps people, contact my friends at YRefi and then tell them Siamak Karami sent you. Now let's go back to the interview. Now, Larry, was there a point you figured out that these policies, like they're causing a problem in your community, in your area, in California, in your city, LA?
Well, it's pretty obvious. I mean, take some of the soft on crime policies that we've done in the last few years here in California. There's Proposition 47, as you know. People talk about how it allows you to steal up to $950 a day per store, and if you get caught, you've committed a misdemeanor. Because we have cashless bail, you have zero chance of going to jail, which is why people are stealing. People talk about that. But the real problem with 47 is that it reduced the crime of being in the street doing meth from a felony to a misdemeanor. Cops tell me that removed the stick they had in their hand. If you were in the street doing meth, they would come up to you and they say, either you go to rehab or you go to jail. Now it's either you go to rehab and the meth guy goes, or what? And so it exploded, homelessness exploded after 47 got passed. Then there's 57, which reduced a lot of categories of crime from felonies to nonviolent offenses. Rape of an intoxicated victim is now a nonviolent offense in California, meaning a lesser penalty. Serial arson, nonviolent offense. Attack of a police officer is a nonviolent offense. Surprise, surprise, crime has gone up. When you reduce the chance of a bad guy being caught, being convicted, and being incarcerated, crime will go up. You know what's gone down? Arrests. Because the police are no longer as proactive as they used to be for fear of being accused of engaging in systemic racism. And because of the morale problems, people are quitting earlier, or they are retiring early, or they are being transferred to other departments where you don't have this kind of political correctness, and it's hard to recruit people. So city after city, including Los Angeles, they are down hundreds of officers in terms of the strength that they should be. And so response time goes down. So it's just pretty obvious what's going on here. You create a problem by passing a stupid law, and then things get worse, and then they pass another stupid law to address what happened when they passed the other stupid law.
And something that people say is that California leads the nation. And do you think California is still leading the nation?
No. California has more jobs than any other state because we're the biggest. But in terms of job creation, last year and the year before that, we were, I think, tied for the bottom. In terms of unemployment, only two states have a higher unemployment rate than what we have. As I mentioned, the price of a house is double the national average. We lead the nation in the percentage of people who are homeless, the number of homeless people in California. We have the highest poverty rate here in California. So we do lead a nation in some areas, but there are strengths here. We have great universities, a lot of tech, a lot of engineering, stuff like that. But for the middle class, working class people, it has become more and more difficult to live here and to raise your family and to buy a house.
So you think we're losing this edge that we had, kind of everyone, this California brand is a big brand globally?
I think so. You're living out of state and you have a job offer in California. You're starting a family. First thing you want to know is how much does it cost to live here? What's the price of a home? And you can't afford it. And as a result, a lot of people who want workers can't get them from other states because other states know, the people know, cost of living is just too high. So, no, I don't think we're leading the nation. I can't think of a single category where we're leading the nation. I know Gavin Newsom had his debate with Ron DeSantis and talked about how great the state was. And in my opinion, Ron DeSantis didn't do a very effective job of countering some of the stuff that he said. But we got crime. As I said, we have very high cost of living. Our tax structure, highest state income tax in the country. Our test scores are near the bottom. Job creation, ranked dead last with one other state. You tell me where we're ahead, where we're leading on. I don't see it.
And is there a way, in your opinion, is there a way to turn this around? And what does it take?
Someone asked me if you were advising Gavin Newsom, what would you say? I said I would say resign. But the problem is, even if he did, his lieutenant governor is just the same. She even just recently said that she thought that Donald Trump ought not be on the ballot. Following the lead of the Colorado Supreme Court. So she's just as bad as he is. And you still have to deal with the state legislature. They're the ones who pass all these stupid bills. There's a bill that just went into effect. If you're a large toy retailer, you have to have a gender-neutral toy aisle. So I guess if your kid doesn't know if he's a girl or a boy, you have some safe space where he or she can buy a toy, I guess. They've set up a commission to determine the wages of fast food workers. So not only do we have a jacked up minimum wage, but going forward, there's now going to be a group of people to determine, if you're running a fast food operation, to determine what the wages are going to be for your employees. Who thinks of stuff like that? Where does that come from? Gavin Newsom also signed a bill reducing the penalties for gang-related crime. Why? Because most of the gangs in California are black and brown, and therefore to punish them would be to punish black and brown people disproportionately, even though they're disproportionately gang members. This is how they think. This is how they reason. So until that mindset turns around, we're going to be in trouble. I talk about this in the early part of the book, CMAC. The race is over for governor. I go to a restaurant on the west side of Los Angeles. LA is liberal. West side is even more liberal. And I get there about 15 minutes before my buddy gets there. So I'm sitting there by myself. And I think this table next to me with two ladies feel sorry for me. So they start talking to me.
You were sitting alone
like
this.
Yeah, so they start talking to me. And it turns out they were 85 years old. They'd known each other since the second grade. One of them was celebrating her birthday. They were Jewish. One of them said she's a human rights activist or proponent. The other one said she's a psychotherapist. And then after about 15 minutes into the conversation, one of them said, wait a minute. I know you. You're that guy that ran for governor in the recall election. You're that Larry Elder. Guess who we voted for? I said, you didn't vote for me. She said, how do you know that? I said, well, let's see. We're in the west side of LA. You're both Jewish. One of you is a human rights proponent. I said, you didn't vote for me. And she said, you're right, we didn't. I said, well, tell me something. How do you feel about the crime? And they both told me in their neighborhoods, crime had gone up. They knew a couple people had been victimized. How do you feel about the quality of our public schools? And they both admitted that they would never put their own children in a public school in Los Angeles. How do you feel about the way Gavin Newsom shut down the state? and they both knew people that lost their businesses. How do you feel about the fact that people are leaving California for the first time? And they both told me they had friends who had left. I said, here we are completing each other's sentences, but you didn't vote for me. I said, have you ever had a conversation with a conservative Republican? And they looked at each other and they said no. And then one of them said, what are you drinking? I said, double vodka, a little cranberry, a little bit of orange juice. She said, put it on me. What are you eating? And I said, I'm probably going to have lobster. Put it on me. So they bought my drinks, they bought my meal, but they had never spoken to a conservative Republican before in their life. Another story I have in the book, I have some back issues, and somebody recommended a therapist. So I'm driving, looking at the address. I'm assuming it's going to be in some office building. And I turn down the street. It's a residential neighborhood. It's a house. So I knock on the door. Woman opens the door. This big plume of marijuana hits me in the face. Not that I would know what that smells like. And she's got tattoos everywhere, CMAC, and she's got piercings everywhere. Her hair is four or five different colors. Probably not a conservative Republican. So she puts me in, she's working on my back, and she's playing Motown music, which is my favorite genre of popular music. And every time a song came on, I knew something about the background, who wrote the song, why the song was written. My Girl is one of my favorite songs that came on. I said, that song was written by a guy named Smokey Robinson. He wrote it for the lead singer of Temptations. His name is David Ruffin. David Ruffin OD'd off cocaine a few years ago. Another song came on. I said, this is by Marvin Gaye. It's called What's Going On, and the owner of Motown didn't want him to record it because he wanted to control who records everything, who writes everything, but this artist wanted to do it himself, and it turned out to be one of the biggest hits Motown ever. So everyone had a story. And about 20 half hour into her session, she says, I know who you are. When you called to make your appointment, I knew who you were. I wasn't going to say anything. Had I known you were this funny and this personable, I would have voted for you. I said, do you know any Republicans? She said, no. I said, not any? She said, I can't think of one. I said, well, believe it or not, we have personalities. Some of us have senses of humor. I mean, honestly, CMAC, this is the cocoon people are in here in California. And when I was running, virtually every ad showed a picture of Donald Trump and me side by side. I had taken one picture with him in my life. They showed it over and over and over again. Even though Donald Trump did not endorse me, his people reached out, but I said, no, I want to make this California-centric. DeSantis reached out. No, I want to make this California-centric. They're going to turn this into a referendum on Republicans. I don't want that. They did it anyway. Every ad said, stop the Republican takeover. No ad said, Gavin Newsom doing a great job on crime, doing a great job on schools, great job on COVID, on fire management, on water retention. Stop Republican takeover. That's how they were able to succeed in the recall. And that's an example of all these people who don't even know any Republicans, and they have a stereotype view of Republicans. Whatever it is, however bad things are, a Republican would make it worse. That's essentially the argument that Gavin Newsom made, and it won.
Before we continue, we would like to thank Shen Yun for sponsoring this channel. I lived in China for 2 years and experienced two different Chinas. One is the China we know now, unfortunately with communism. And the other is ancient Chinese culture with 5,000 years of history, strong values, ethics and morality that has been lost. Shen Yun Performing Arts is reviving this 5,000 years of Chinese traditional culture. It takes you back in time to magical world of ancient China with a unique blend of brilliant dancing, beautiful costumes, and legends coming to life. Go to shenyun.com to find out the schedule and theater information. It's a lifetime experience you don't want to miss. Book your tickets today. Now let's go back to the interview. And do you think the Republicans can change things in the state?
I sure hope so. There is a nationwide organization set up by some Trump people, and they have different chapters, and I am going to head up the California chapter. And it's a policy, kind of a policy think tank. And not just a think tank, but get out in the community, give speeches, reach out to young people to humanize us and to talk about the policy prescriptions that we have to deal with crime, to deal with bad schools, to deal with the high cost of living. The idea is over a 15 or 20 year period of time, I hope I'm still around, that California will evolve from this deep, deep blue state into a far more sensible red-ish state. That's what I'm hoping, and that's what I'm going to try and do.
Now, one of the things that comes to mind is we are a very diverse state. Mm-hmm. You know, we are open to all sorts of people coming here,
right,
and working together. And how come there's not more diversity in the government of the state? And there,
you mean
in terms of ideas?
Well, because it's all left wing. I mean, the left is really big on diversity, equity, and inclusion. Except when it comes to diversity of ideas, of ideology. I mean, take this, what's going on right now with Harvard. The president, Claudine Gay, has just now resigned. She's just a figurehead. She's just a barnacle on the hull of a ship. Only about 3% of the professors at Harvard self-describe as somewhat conservative or conservative. So the conservatives are probably under 3%. So there's no diversity of thought, of ideology at Harvard, any more than there's a diversity of ideology with our mainstream media. Only about 3 or 4% of reporters describe themselves as Republicans. So this is a problem. You have a monolithic institution like Harvard being scrutinized by a monolithic left-wing institution called the media. That's why so many people were defending Claudine Gay over charges of plagiarism and the way she answered the question about whether or not chanting for genocide is against our code of our student code of ethics. 500 professors wrote a letter defending her. So 85% or 90% of the Harvard faculty thinks exactly the way she thinks, and much of the media thinks exactly the way she thinks. So this is the battlefield that conservatives have to deal with.
But the values of the people is not like that, right? The values of the average people, it seems like the people you talk to,
right,
they once you had the conversation, isn't that true?
Yeah, I think so. I think once people realize that the policies are what are causing some of your concerns, I think people will change, but it's going to take a while. For example, people often talk about how people from California come here and they bring their politics with them. They come here and they start voting Democrat. That's because they know that they left California because they can't afford the price of a house, but they don't know why they can't afford the price of a house. They don't know what policies have caused the price of a home to be so much to be so high. And the policies are the laws like CEQA, the California Environmental Quality Act, which basically allows almost anybody to stop any construction project for almost any reason for an indefinite period of time. So the unions use it to sue developers so that developers hire union labor, which jacks up the price of a home. The environmentalists use it because environmentalists think that any kind of construction is bad for the environment. And the NIMBY people do it because nobody wants to have construction in their own neighborhoods often to inconvenience them. So there are all sorts of special interest people that use laws like CEQA to stop the construction of a home, which is why housing is so high in California. So you've left because you can't buy a house, but you don't even connect the dots as to why you left. So you vote the same way when you go to Colorado or Florida or Texas. And so that's what my book is all about, As Goes California. So at the very least, when you leave California, please understand why you left so that you don't go somewhere else and vote the same way.
Larry, do you have any other thoughts for our audience?
Well, I do. I just think that people need to recognize that the more regulations, the more burdens you put on people, the harder you're making it for the middle class and for the working class people. Rich people will always be able to pay the taxes. They'll always be able to live in neighborhoods where they have their own private security and high walls. It's the people who are the middle class people and the working class people that politicians purport to care about who are the ones hurt most by these bad policies. They're the ones that are living in crime-ridden neighborhoods. They're the ones who cannot afford a private school, so therefore they have to send their kids to a public school. They're the ones who are being hurt by the very policies that you people like Gavin Newsom don't abide by yourself. As I said, he was not wearing a mask. He was not engaged in social distancing. His own wine business was not shut down. His own kids were enjoying private in-school education while denying that benefit to other people. Here in L.A., schools were shut down for almost 2 years, which means that these kids lost 2 years of learning, which is going to translate into earnings loss over the course of their lives. They're never going to get that back. So the very people that you care about, you claim to care about, are the ones most hurt by these bad policies. Stop voting Democrat. Begin Start voting a different kind of way, because you get the government that you deserve. You get the government that you vote for. So if anybody's watching this and has heard anything at all that I say, please rethink automatically pulling that lever for the Democratic Party.
Larry, do you have any examples or any moments that you saw this happening to people that are average people that got hit by regulation?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I travel all up and down the state. I met a lot of farmers. And they complained about the water regulations, the water rationing, the wage laws that they had to abide by. I have friends who operate restaurants, same kind of thing. I have friends who have complained about the quality of the public schools. They can't put their kids in a private school because they can't afford it. I have talked to a lot of people that were impacted by crime, by people who are on the street who otherwise should not have been on the streets. You know, these are real world problems that real people are suffering from, and I think it would be a good idea for some of the politicians who pass all these stupid rules and regulations to get out there and talk to people who have to run small businesses and find out what they're complaining about.
Have things changed in LA or California culturally compared to when you grew up?
Well, during the mayor's race, the eventual winner, Karen Bass, was asked on a scale from 0 to 10, how worried are you about crime? 10 meaning you're not worried at all, and 0 meaning you're very, very worried. She said, 10. 2 weeks later, her house was broken into. She had 2 guns stolen out of her house. She had another debate, and the questioner brought up her answer that she gave before. Last time I asked on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being you feel the most safe, you said 10 in terms of crime. How do you feel now? She said, well, I'd say now it's about a 5. And this is how out of touch people are with what's going on in the city. Even Mayor Villaraigosa, former Mayor Villaraigosa of LA, said, I've never seen the city dirtier. I've never seen the city more plagued by homelessness than I'm seeing right now. So it is dirtier, more expensive to live, more dangerous, and the schools are worse than when I was growing up. And that's what's going on right now, and that's got to change.
Larry Elder, former gubernatorial candidate in California and former presidential candidate, also TV host and radio host. It was great to have you on California Insider.
Well, CMAC, thank you very much. It has been a pleasure. Don't forget, As Goes California, my mission to rescue the Golden State and save a nation. My goals are modest. Thank you for having me.
We have an exciting news for you. At California Insider, we created a new product. It's called California Insider Opinion. This is where our insiders and experts across the state are actually telling you what's going on behind the headlines. When there's a breaking news, a big issue, important issue happening in California, they're going to come on the screen and tell you what's happening behind the scenes. And these are like 7 to 10 minutes of opinion formats where the guests are talking to the camera directly, telling you what's happening.
You're paying a tax increase of tens of thousands of dollars every year as a condition of keeping what you already own.
Make sure to look at the description below, because you want to sign up on our newsletter, because a lot of these opinions might be very sensitive that some people in the social media platform may not like. So we're putting them in the newsletter on our website so you can have them. These opinions will actually help you understand the political and policy landscape of California. We highly recommend you follow it. We'll